Welcome everyone to the deep dive. Today we're really getting into something huge, something we all do but maybe don't fully grasp: sleep.
Yeah, definitely.
But listen, this isn't just about feeling, you know, less tired. Our mission today is to unpack how sleep, right down to the nitty-gritty biology, directly shapes your longevity. Think about it for a sec. Your brain detoxing at night, how your genes are expressed, your immune system getting tuned up.
Right.
Sleep isn't some optional luxury. It's like this deep survival code written right into your DNA. It's been there for ages.
Absolutely. Millions of years.
And we're going to explore why messing with that code, ignoring it, has these big, often silent costs that ripple through your whole system.
And that's exactly where we start digging deeper. Because, you know, the big takeaway here is that not all sleep is the same. Not by a long shot.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to when you sleep. We're going to pull back the curtain on circadian biology. Mm-hmm. That's the core concept.
Right, the body clock.
Exactly. We'll look at clock genes, what melatonin really does, cortisol rhythms, and all that amazing cellular repair that's supposed to happen at night.
So the key question.
The key question is, why is sleeping, say, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., so fundamentally different, biologically speaking, from grabbing those same 8 hours during the day?
Ah, okay. Because intuitively you think 8 hours is 8 hours?
Right. But no, there are real molecular consequences, big ones when you're out of sync. These impact your health span, your lifespan. So yeah, get ready for some real aha moments about what your body's doing or maybe what it's missing.
Okay, I'm ready. So if it's the survival protocol, this essential thing, where does it all start, this whole orchestration?
It all circles back to your internal circadian rhythm, that hidden clock inside you.
And it's more than just feeling sleepy or awake, right?
Oh, way more. Most people think, oh, my body clock, I feel tired at night. But we need to unpack that. It's not just a feeling.
It's genetically coded. A super precise 24-hour clock. And here's the kicker. It's not just in your brain. It's in every single cell in your body.
Every cell. Seriously.
Every single one. Your liver cells, your skin cells, your immune cells. They all have their own little clock ticking away.
Wow. Okay, so how should we picture this?
Okay, think of your body like a giant, complex symphony orchestra.
Right.
Your circadian rhythm. That's the conductor, making sure every instrument, every biological process plays its part at the exact right time in that 24-hour cycle.
So it's not just reacting, it's anticipating.
Exactly. It anticipates the day-night cycle. It optimizes everything, energy use, repair, you name it. It's the body's fundamental operating system, really, not just some add-on feature.
Got it. So who is this master conductor then? Where does it sit?
Well, the master conductor, the one holding the main baton, is a tiny cluster of nerve cells deep in your brain. It's in the hypothalamus. It's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, SCN for short.
SCN. And what's really cool is how it stays synchronized. It gets direct light signals straight from your retinas.
From your eyes. Makes sense.
Yeah, through a special pathway.
Right.
Even if you can't see consciously, that light information gets through. Light is the most powerful cue for resetting this master clock every day.
So the SCN gets the light signal, and then what? How does it tell all those other self clocks what time it is?
Great question. It sends out signals, nerve signals, hormonal signals, to basically coordinate all those peripheral clocks throughout your body.
Yeah.
Every single one.
That sounds like a massive job.
It is massive. We're talking about timing, hormone release, like cortisol kicking in before you wake up, growth hormone peaking at night. It dictates the best times for tissues to repair themselves.
Muscles, skin, everything.
Everything. It sets the schedule for digestion, when your gut should be active, when your liver is best at metabolizing stuff. It even controls your immune system when certain immune cells ramp up or when they quiet down.
Wow. So if that coordination breaks down.
Chaos. Exactly. Imagine different parts of your body working on different schedules. Your liver thinks it's lunchtime while your brain thinks it's bedtime. It just doesn't work efficiently.
Right. They'd be fighting each other.
Precisely. That synchronized harmony orchestrated by the SCN is absolutely fundamental for your overall health, your resilience, and ultimately your longevity. Every cell needs to know the right time.
Okay, so as the SCN cues nighttime, what are the key players that step up? I know melatonin is a big one.
Huge one. Melatonin.
Yeah.
Often called the hormone of darkness, right?
Yeah.
And its rhythm is super precise. Non-negotiable, really, for optimal function. Levels start rising around, say, 9 p.m., signaling biological night is coming.
Okay.
Then it really peaks. Highest concentration between about 2 and 4 a.m., then as morning light hits your eyes, it starts to decline.
Now, most people just think of it as a sleep pill, right? It's something to help you nod off.
That's the common view, yeah. But that's like saying a smartphone is just for making calls. Melatonin is so, so much more.
Okay, spill it. What else is it doing?
This is where it gets really interesting for longevity. Melatonin is like your body's nighttime special ops team.
Ha, ah, I like that.
Seriously. It protects your mitochondria, the power plants in your cells, from damage. That's huge for slowing down cellular aging right there.
Protecting the power source.
Exactly. And it's a massively powerful antioxidant. It goes around cleaning up damaging free radicals all night long. Far more potent than many you'd get from food.
Wow.
Plus, it helps regulate how your cells actually produce energy efficiently, making sure they have the juice not just for daily tasks, but for those crucial nightly repairs.
So way beyond just sleepiness, it's deep cellular protection.
Deep, multifaceted protection. Calling it just a sleep hormone really undersells its critical role in keeping your cells healthy long term. It's a master regulator of your night biology.
Okay, so what happens then biologically if we mess with that? If we push bedtime way past midnight, for instance, what are those molecular consequences you mentioned?
Yeah, this is where it gets, well, a bit alarming, frankly. The consequences kick in almost immediately. When you consistently stay up late past midnight, you're not just choosing to be awake. You are actively, severely disrupting that whole carefully timed cascade of nighttime biochemistry, the sequence your body has perfected over millennia.
So my body's expecting darkness, expecting melatonin to rise, and I'm giving it light and activity.
Exactly. You're basically sending conflicting signals. Your SCN might know it's night based on the clock, but the artificial light, the activity, tells your peripheral cells, nope, still daytime. It creates this internal conflict, this misalignment.
And that means?
It means your body misses critical windows, specific time slots that are programmed for certain repair jobs, certain detox processes that rely on that strong melatonin signal and darkness.
Like scheduled maintenance that gets canceled.
Perfect analogy. Think of it like a complex molecular dance routine. Every step has to happen on beat. If you miss your cue, the whole performance suffers.
And those windows aren't flexible.
Not really, no. They're evolutionarily baked in. Missing them isn't just about feeling groggy. It's about your body not getting the high-quality timed repair it needs. It builds up this biological debt. Silently.
A debt that impacts aging?
Absolutely. It accelerates aging from the inside out.
Yeah.
Because one misstep in that cascade tends to throw off the next one and the one after that. It's a domino effect.
Speaking of critical windows, I know the brain has its own special cleanup crew at night, the glymphatic system.
Yes, the glymphatic system.
Yep.
That's a fascinating process. It's basically your brain's unique waste disposal system.
And it only works properly when we sleep.
Primarily, yes. It kicks into high gear specifically during deep, slow-wave sleep. That's the really restorative stuff.
Which usually happens when...
For most people, that optimal window is roughly 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. That's prime time for glymphatic activity.
So what's actually happening in the brain then?
It's amazing. Your brain cells actually shrink slightly, but up to 60%. Yeah. This creates more space between them, allowing cerebrospinal fluid, the fluid surrounding your brain and spinal cord, to flow much more rapidly through the brain tissue. It's like power washing the streets of your brain.
Power washing out what?
Toxic junk that builds up during the day. Metabolic waste. And crucially, proteins like beta amyloid and tau.
Wait, beta amyloid and tau, aren't those linked to Alzheimer's?
Exactly. They are the key proteins implicated in Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative conditions. The glymphatic system is vital for clearing them out before they accumulate and cause damage.
So if you consistently miss that 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. deep sleep window,
you're essentially letting that toxic sludge pile up night after night, which you can imagine directly impacts your long-term brain health, your memory, your cognitive function. It's like skipping your brain's nightly deep clean. The grime builds up.
That is a very compelling reason to get to bed on time.
It really is. It connects to another crucial nighttime player, growth hormone.
Right. You mentioned that earlier, the repair crew. Yeah.
Exactly. Growth hormone production spikes, specifically during those early sleep stages.
Mm.
Usually, again, between about 10 p.m. and midnight.
And it's not just for kids growing, right?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And adults, it's a powerhouse for repair and regeneration. Crucial for fixing muscle tissue after the day's wear and tear, whether you worked out hard or just, you know, lived your life.
Okay. What else?
It drives collagen synthesis. That's vital for keeping your skin, your joints, your connective tissues healthy and elastic. Literally helps fight the physical signs of aging.
Looking and feeling younger.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's involved in your metabolism, too. Helps manage fat, build lean muscle, support bone density. It's a whole body reset button.
So the missed opportunity here is missing that early sleep window.
Precisely. If you skip that 10 p.m. to midnight deep sleep, you're missing the main signal for this hormone release. These repair processes don't just get postponed, the optimal trigger is missed,
leading to a deficit over time.
A cumulative deficit in repair, in rejuvenation, in tissue integrity, which, of course, impacts how well you age, your resilience, your longevity. It's your body's nightly tune-up service, and it runs on a tight schedule.
Okay, so we have melatonin, glymphatics, growth hormone. What about cortisol, the stress hormone? How does that fit into the night?
Cortisol. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets a bad rap as just the stress hormone. But it has a really important natural rhythm, too, tightly controlled by the SCN.
The get-up-and-go hormone, I've heard it called?
That's a good way to put it. Its rhythm is basically the opposite of melatonin's. Cortisol levels are typically lowest around midnight, when you should be in deep sleep.
Okay.
Then, starting around 4 a.m. or so, it begins this slow, gradual climb, gently rising until it peaks, right around the time you naturally wake up.
And that rise isn't stress. It's normal.
Totally normal. It's supposed to happen. That pre-dawn surge is designed to get you ready for the day. It mobilizes energy stores, nudges up blood pressure slightly, increases alertness.
Like your body's own internal alarm clock.
Exactly. A gentle, natural ramp up to prepare you for activity. Not a sudden jolt, ideally.
So, what happens if our sleep schedule messes that rhythm up? Like going to bed super late? 3 a.m. maybe?
Yeah, that's where the problems really set in. You're essentially forcing your body into a state of chronic biological jet lag. That precise cortisol pattern gets completely thrown off.
How do we know this? Is there evidence?
Oh, absolutely. Studies on shift workers are a prime example. People whose schedules are constantly fighting their natural circadian rhythm.
What do those studies show?
They often show what's called flattened cortisol slopes, meaning their cortisol doesn't dip low enough at night, which hinders repair, and it doesn't peak sharply enough in the morning, leaving them feeling drained.
And that has knock-on effects.
Big time. This chronic disruption is linked to higher levels of inflammation throughout the body. Systemic inflammation, sometimes called inflammaging.
Inflammaging. Inflammation, yeah. Driving aging.
You got it. It's a key driver of almost all major chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes, neurodegeneration. And critically for longevity, it leads to shortened telomeres.
Telomeres, remind me, those are the caps on our DNA.
Exactly, like the plastic tips on shoelaces. They protect your DNA when cells divide. They naturally shorten with age, but chronic stress and circadian disruption speed up that shortening process significantly.
So shorter telomeres mean faster biological aging?
That's the direct link.
Yes.
It's a measurable marker.
Yes.
So the long-term impacts of messing with your cortisol rhythm go way beyond just feeling tired. We're talking increased risk of metabolic problems, weakened immunity, anxiety, depression, heart issues, even some cancers. It's a profound shift in your body's fundamental systems.
Wow. It really touches everything. Which brings us, I guess, to an even deeper level, the genes themselves. You mentioned clock genes.
Yeah, clock genes. This is fundamental. We're talking specific genes in your DNA. You might hear names like KELO-CK, BMAO1, PERCRY.
Okay, and what do they do?
They form this incredibly elegant feedback loop. It runs on a roughly 24-hour cycle. This is the molecular machinery of the clock inside each cell.
The tiny ticking mechanism.
Precisely. But here's the mind-blowing part. Their influence goes way beyond just sleep. These clock genes actively regulate the expression of over 40% of your entire genome.
Hold on. 40%? Nearly half our genes are controlled by these clock genes.
Isn't that staggering? Nearly half your body's operating instructions are switched on or off or dialed up or down based on the time of day, orchestrated by these clock genes.
What kind of instructions? What processes?
Oh, crucial ones. Immunity, how your body fights infection. Metabolism, how you process energy, store fat, handle sugar. And DNA, repair, the constant fixing of damage to your genetic code.
So if your sleep schedule is off, you're essentially telling almost half your genes to work at the wrong time.
That's exactly it. You're fundamentally disrupting the blueprint for your body's daily operations, its repair schedule, its defenses. You're setting the stage for cellular breakdown, basically.
Let's dig into that metabolism part a bit more. How does the timing mess with how we handle food?
Right, this is a huge one. Your body's sensitivity to insulin, the hormone that helps your cells take up sugar from your blood, follows a strong circadian rhythm.
Okay, how?
You're most insulin sensitive in the morning. Your body's primed to handle carbs efficiently then. But as the day goes on into the evening and night, your insulin sensitivity naturally decreases significantly.
So eating late at night is metabolically problematic.
Very problematic. Or sleeping during the day and eating then. You're forcing your body to deal with calories, especially carbs and fats, when it's biologically shifting gears towards rest and repair. It's just not equipped for it.
And the consequences are?
Well, we see it clearly in the data. Night owls, shift workers, they consistently have higher risk of obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease. It's not just a correlation. The mechanism is there.
Why? What's happening?
Your pancreas struggles. Your cells become resistant to insulin. Blood sugar stays higher for longer. You store more fat, especially dangerous visceral fat around organs. Your hunger hormones get messed up.
Leptin and ghrelin.
Those too, yeah. Plus, your liver's rhythm for processing nutrients and cholesterol gets disrupted. It's a metabolic traffic jam caused by ignoring the body's natural timing signals. Leads directly to those chronic diseases.
Man. Okay, metabolism is hit hard. What about the immune system? You mentioned that too.
Yep. Even your immune system isn't spared. It runs on a tight circadian schedule as well. Your body's defense force needs its downtime and its peak action times.
Give me an example.
Okay, natural killer cells, NK cells. These are critical immune cells. They patrol your body looking for and destroying virally infected cells and, importantly, precancerous cells.
Like cellular security guards.
Good analogy. Their activity peaks significantly during nighttime sleep. That's when the guards are most vigilant.
And other immune cells.
Yeah, the rhythm affects T cells, B cells, the ones involved in targeted responses, and antibody production. It also controls the release of cytokines, those inflammatory messengers. Generally, more pro-inflammatory during the day to fight immediate threats, and more anti-inflammatory and repair-focused at night.
So chronic sleep loss or being out of sync, what does that do to immunity?
It suppresses immune surveillance,
yeah.
Plain and simple. It lowers the number and effectiveness of those NK cells.
Which could mean?
Potentially impairing your body's ability to catch and destroy cancer cells early on. It can also make vaccines less effective and make you more susceptible to everyday infections, like colds or the flu.
So getting good sleep is literally part of staying safe from disease.
Absolutely. It's an unseen but vital part of your defense system, working constantly while you rest if you rest at the right time.
This brings up a really important point then. What about people who say, okay, I can't sleep at night, but I get my 8 hours during the day. Is that just as good?
The million-dollar question. Let's just bust that myth right now. Daytime sleep is not a biological substitute for night sleep, period.
Even if it's 8 solid hours.
Even then, the fundamental architecture of that sleep, the stages, the cycles, how deep you go, it's inherently different.
Right, so what are the biological reasons?
Several big ones. First, light. Even dim light suppresses melatonin. You just don't get that crucial darkness hormone surge during the day.
Okay.
Second, REM sleep, vital for your brain processing, memory, emotions. It tends to be shorter shifted, less effective during the day.
Right.
Third, cortisol rhythms are still messed up. Your body wants cortisol to be high during the day, low at night. Sleeping during the day doesn't flip that switch properly.
And the brain cleanup. Lymphatic system.
Significantly reduced because it depends on that deep, slow wave sleep, which is much harder to get and sustain when your body thinks it should be awake.
So the quality just isn't there, even if the quantity is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These aren't minor differences. They mean your body simply cannot perform those essential nighttime repair, detox, and rejuvenation jobs effectively during the day.
Yeah.
It's like trying to do delicate surgery under strobe lights. The conditions are wrong.
Exactly. And this is the tricky part, the really insidious thing we have to get across. People might say, but I feel fine after a few late nights or working shifts.
Why, I've adapted.
Yeah. But the point is, the long-term impacts are building up silently, under the surface, until suddenly it's not silent anymore.
It's like putting tiny grains of sand in your car's engine every day. You don't notice it at first.
Until the engine seizes up.
Precisely. The biological costs of mistimed sleep are cumulative and relentless. We're talking higher oxidative stress, that cellular rot.
Damaging DNA, proteins.
All of it. Impaired neurogenesis, your brain makes fewer new cells, especially in memory areas like the hippocampus.
So learning, memory, mood, all affected.
Yes. Then there's the faster shortening of telomeres, accelerated biological aging, and more DNA replication errors, more chances for mistakes when cells copy themselves, which can lead to mutations, disease, cancer.
It's a silent debt accumulating, biologically invisible, like you said.
Until it manifests. Until that chronic condition appears seemingly out of nowhere. But it wasn't out of nowhere. It was building.
Okay, so given all this, all these incredibly complex, time-sensitive processes, what is the ideal? What should we be aiming for?
Based on everything we know about circadian biology, The optimal window aligns with the natural dark cycle. For most adults, that means aiming to be asleep roughly between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
And that's not just arbitrary.
Not at all. It's optimal because it allows that melatonin surge, the glymphatic peak, the growth hormone release, the cortisol dip, all those critical events to happen when they're biologically programmed to happen for maximum benefit.
But you also said timing isn't everything.
Right. There's a second piece just as crucial. Consistency.
Regularity.
Yes. Hitting that 10 to 6 window is great, but doing it consistently is arguably even more important. Your internal clock loves rhythm, predictability.
So sleeping in massively on weekends? Bad idea.
It can really mess things up. Even one or two nights of a drastically shifted schedule can induce a kind of internal jet lag that takes days to recover from. It constantly disrupts the rhythm your systems are trying to establish.
So consistency builds a stronger, more resilient clock.
Exactly. Both timing and consistency are key.
Okay, I love the idea you floated earlier. Sleep as charging your DNA. Can you expand on that? It feels really powerful.
Yeah, I think it's a helpful way to frame it. Think about it. Your DNA takes a beating every single day just from living, breathing, metabolizing, environmental stuff.
By constant wear and tear.
And sleep, especially that deep, restorative, well-timed sleep, is when your body plugs in to meticulously repair that damage. It's prime time for DNA repair enzymes, for telomere maintenance, for fine-tuning gene expression.
So skipping sleep or sleeping at the wrong time?
It's like skipping the charge cycle for your most vital component, or trying to charge it with a weak, flickering power source. You're not just feeling tired. You are literally accelerating wear and tear at the most fundamental level, accumulating damage.
And you said this isn't just theory. Longevity studies back this up.
Absolutely. It's becoming increasingly clear. Quality, well-timed sleep is emerging as a predictor of lifespan and health span that's potentially even stronger than exercise or diet alone.
Wow. Stronger than exercise or diet?
In some studies, yes. Because all those foundational processes, DNA repair, telomere length, gene expression, brain detox, hormonal balance, they all hinge on getting that sleep right. It's the ultimate biological reset.
This really reframes priorities, doesn't it?
Right.
Especially for people interested in longevity and biohacking.
It really should. You see people focusing so much on, you know, the latest supplements, fasting protocols, ice baths, intense workouts.
Yeah.
And look, some of that stuff might have benefits, sure. But the message from our deep dog today is crystal clear. Start with the absolute non-negotiable foundation.
Protect your sleep.
Protect your sleep. It's the most powerful, evolutionarily ancient, and frankly, free longevity tool you have.
No fancy gadgets needed.
Nope. The power is already built into your biology. You just need to work with it. Align with the natural light-dark cycle. Let your body do the incredible healing, rebuilding, and detoxifying work it's designed to do at night.
That simple alignment is the bedrock.
It's the bedrock. Everything else builds on that.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive for today. And honestly, it's pretty staggering just thinking about all those critical hidden jobs happening while we sleep.
It really is. And how easily we can disrupt them, often without even realizing the long-term cost, just by, you know, pushing bedtime back, working odd hours, ignoring that innate rhythm.
If this conversation opened your eyes, maybe share it with someone you know who still thinks sleep is, quote, just rest. Because we've seen today, it's profoundly more than that.
Understanding, and more importantly, respecting your body's internal clock isn't just a nice-to-have health tip. It's truly fundamental for long-term health, for vitality, for genuine longevity. It's the quiet conductor of your well-being. It needs respect and consistency.
So until next time, sleep early, sleep well, and maybe ask yourself, is true cellular health less about adding something new to your routine and more about simply allowing your body to perform its ancient vital tasks when the world goes dark? What crucial biological jobs might you be unintentionally interrupting tonight? What benefits could you be unlocking? Food for thought.